You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. Here at Sunrise, we believe that Christ is all. We desire to see Christ in all the Scripture, honor Christ in all of life, and spread Christ to all the world. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website, sunrisecc.com. Here is this week's message.
What do you do when you come across a verse, a passage, a chapter, a whole book in the Bible that you just don't know what to do with? There are a lot of options we do. Perhaps you stop and think and say, wait a minute, did God really say that? Did God really do that? What is going on here? You can skip it, you can wrestle with it, you can doubt it, you can close your Bible in frustration, or you can plead with God to give you understanding and more. All of us have faced, in our time with the Scriptures, most of us have faced those moments. This series is all about those moments, when we come to those moments where it's a hard passage, a tough text, and we are at a loss in many ways of how to handle it. So, tonight it is my pleasure to begin Tough Text, an evening series for 13 weeks. There's technically 14. I'll tell you about the one that we will take off, but still gather together for something special. And we'll be looking at just this thing, passages in the Bible that are difficult to understand, difficult to handle. Some of you know this, but some of you do not. A few weeks ago, in all our small groups here at the church, we announced that this is what we're going to be doing. And we said, think about passages that you just, in your own experience, your own study, you've really found difficult, hard to understand, a puzzle you did not know how to put together, or it was crystal clear and you just didn't like what was clear and plain in the text. It had a seem of a sense of offense to you for some reason or another. You guys went home, you thought about this, prayed about this, you came back at our most recent members meeting and pelted about 35 different texts at me, and which was wonderful. I sent them all out to the elders and we had a hoot going back and forth at some of the ones that were chosen. We thought some would be chosen, and they were. And we thought others would be chosen, and they weren't. And it was like, well, okay. So from that, we chose 13. We chose 13 different passages to go through one per evening session together. I'm eager to get to these texts and start working through them with you, but tonight is all about introductions. So, in our time together tonight, I want to tell you where we'll be going. I want to give you the texts that were chosen. I want to also tell you about the hard reality of tough texts and what they do to us, the different kind of categories of tough text. But first, I want to tell you why I did not choose the 27 or so texts that were given. 13 of them we chose. I don't know, do the math, I'm not sure. There's a whole big group that we did not pick as elders to have in this, and I want to tell you why. First, we did not choose topics that were given. And I mean that. This is tough texts, not tough topics. Do we understand the difference between that? Though there's some overlap with all these, right? Because to go to the topics, you have to go to texts. But this is the key difference. We wanted to stick with actual passages in the New or Old Testament that people find difficult. For example, somebody shared, I don't know if it was you or not, this one came in via text. Well, I do know who's gave this one. They're not here. But they said, I'd love to hear an explanation of divine sovereignty versus human responsibility. I'm like, oh, what a great topic, right? What a great topic, a needed topic for us to delve into, but that's just what that is. It's a topic, hard to really root that in one particular text where you get all the answers of everything that's going on in such a passage. Another topic that was given to us is we'd love to hear about the age of the earth. I'm like, okay, there is a central text in Genesis 1, obviously, that deals with creation, but there's a whole host of other texts that go into the interpretive options when it comes to the age of the earth, and especially as you deal with the interpretations that have been given down through history. So, there were other examples like this that are more general topic than specific passage. Now, perhaps at a time in the future, it would be a wonderful endeavor for us to do a series called Tough Topics, where rather than just honing in on one specific passage, we more broadly and somewhat more systematically approach the topic and try to decipher all the information the Bible has about that topic and arrive at a conclusion. That would be a wonderful series indeed. That's not this series. This series is all about a specific text. So in a sense, rather than looking very broadly in this series, we're doing microscope work here in these evenings, looking at one text, one question, one issue that a single passage answers for us. So we did not choose anything that resembled a topic. That weeded out some options. Second, we did not choose any texts that were given that were near, related to, or coming up in our Sunday morning sermon time together. For example, a dear beloved brother, one of my close friends, gave Exodus 4, the wonderfully puzzling and almost jarring passage where the Lord tries to kill Moses. Like, you end one verse, the very next verse, and the Lord sought to kill Moses. You're like, where did this come from? There's a swift circumcision, not made by Moses, but made by Zipporah, Moses' wife, and then she throws the foreskin at Moses' feet and calls him a bridegroom of blood. There's a lot that's puzzling in that passage, and sure enough, we're going to be coming to it in our Sunday morning series as we, verse by verse, travel through the book of Exodus in our time together. That's one example of one text that was given that we'll be coming to together on Sunday morning. So we said we don't need to pick those for Sunday night because we don't want overlap, right? So let's do things we're not going to be doing on Sunday morning here on Sunday night. Another example somebody gave said, I'd love to hear an in-depth exposition of the fourth commandment. I'm like, okay, that's further out there in Exodus chapter 20. We're getting way out there, about verse 6, 7, and 8, I think, in the law of Moses there given to the people. But we will come to it, Lord willing, sometime next spring or next fall as we continue through Exodus. So, those are certainly tough texts, but it is a text that we will come to shortly, and so we're not going to deal with those things here in the evening. We'll leave them for the morning. Third and lastly, there's another group of texts we did not choose. This one might seem strange to you. We did not choose texts that were from the book of Judges. This is not because we do not like the book of Judges. We think it's inappropriate. No, we love the book of Judges. It is the prequel to the book of Ruth, the sequel to Joshua. There's all kinds of wonderful things to glean from Judges. But there were so many given from the book of Judges that we thought as elders, well, maybe this is our sign. Here's your sign that we need to go through the book of Judges sometime in the near future as a church. And so, Lord willing, we'll do that at a time we think is best. We'll go through the book of Judges that way, rather than hitting half of our series in tough texts in one book in Judges. We'll do them all together in a big string as we go through the book of Judges at a time in the future. I think the number one example there were more than a handful of people that wanted to know what's up with Samson. Not only what's up with Samson, but why, when you read Judges, you think, bad guy? Like, not good guy. Used by God, not good guy, not exemplary. You get to Hebrews 11, man of faith. Wonderful example of faith. How do those not contradict each other? That's a huge question that it alone could take 6 or 7 weeks to unfold as we look at the entire Samson narrative in Judges 13 to 19 or 20-ish. So we did not choose any text from the book of Judges. So to summarize, we did not choose anything that resembled a topic. We did not choose anything that was related to, near, or from our Sunday morning series in Exodus. And we did not choose anything from the book of Judges. Your wife will tell you why. There you go. Now, what did we choose? Here's the list. We made one change early this morning. Well, I did. Sent it out to the elders. That's my fault. Next week, we begin with Ephesians 4, 26 to 31, looking at righteous anger in Paul. The week after that, the 31st of August, Hebrews chapter 6, can we lose our salvation? September 7th, we'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 20, and we'll look at the question, is the conquest of Canaan holy war or genocide? If you want to take notes, that's great. I see some of you doing it. All this will be on the website Tuesday morning, if you just want it there. So you don't have to feel like you're going to miss anything here. On September 14th, looking at Psalm 5, Psalm 11, Psalm 76, we have a few texts that really get this. Does God hate both the sin and the sinner? On September 21st, did Jesus descend into hell? 1 Peter 3, 18 to 22. Might be the most difficult one in the entire series. There. September 28th, head coverings. Command or custom? 1 Corinthians 11. October 5th, we'll look at Genesis 6. Does God regret? October 12th, we'll look at 2 Corinthians 8 and Titus, his example. What does this verse teach us about free will? Someone gave us the big topic of free will, and so we wanted to do this. So we chose a text that really hammers this one home. October 19th, why are there psalms of imprecation? Imprecatory psalms. What do we do with them? Example, Psalm 137, the famous one where the psalmist cries out to God, may the wicked be destroyed and their children be dashed against the rocks. What are we to do with this? And how does that not contradict Jesus' statement, love your enemies? October 26th, we'll take a night off from tough text to celebrate the Reformation with some kind of Reformation documentary or movie. So plan for that. That's the closest Sunday to the 31st in October. It falls on the 26th this year. We'll lean into that together. November 2nd, what is the role of women in church? 1 Corinthians 14. November 9th, what is the sin leading to death? from 1 John 5. November 16th, why does Jesus say we should hate our family? Luke 14, verse 26. And lastly, ending the series, it's the last evening series of the fall, right there before Thanksgiving, when everyone goes away and we all get into the busy Advent season. November 23rd, will all Israel be saved in the end? Romans 11, 25 to 26. So there's the 13 tough texts. We're going to look at them, examine them, and Lord willing, we will provide for you a in-flesh example of not only how to arrive at proper conclusions, but how to deal with tough text in a way that is honoring to God. So, that's what we didn't pick, what we did pick. Now, I want to end, this isn't a quick one, this is my biggest point tonight. I want to end by discussing the reality, the hard reality of tough text and what they do to us. And to do so, I want to actually go to a text. So if you have your Bibles, 2 Peter, the letter of 2 Peter, chapter 3, starting in verse 15. We'll read that together, talk about it, see what instruction we can get from it, and then we'll open it up for some Q&A, as is our custom here on Sunday night. 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 15, says this, "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures," or the rest of the scriptures. Notice right away what the Apostle Peter says in this verse. He is honest about the contents of Scripture. He isn't shy about it. He doesn't try to hide it. He doesn't try to cover it up. No, he tells us plainly that there are passages in our Bible that go under the category Scripture that are difficult to understand. There are hard sayings here. Not only notice that, but notice how Peter refers to the writings of Paul as Scripture. This is one of the evidences of the inspiration of the New Testament canon right here in the New Testament itself. But then notice more. Not only does Peter refer to the writings of Paul as Scripture, but he's honest about Paul's writing. Remember, this is the Peter who was rebuked by Paul in Galatia during a large communal meal. Right there in front of everybody, Paul criticized, rebuked, and called Peter back to faithfulness to Christ because he was afraid to eat with the Gentiles because he feared the Jews more than he feared God. But Peter here not only says that our beloved brother, Paul, has hard sayings in his letters, and these letters are Scripture. Well, he said that there are portions of them that are hard to understand. Now, this is true even for the Apostle Peter. If it's true for him, it's certainly true of us. If he did not easily understand some sections in Paul, we will not easily understand some sections in Paul. Now, what I want to say about this is this. Certainly this is true for Paul, and we can mention those moments in Paul where we find difficult to understand. We have some of them in our order for this series before us. But can we not also apply this same principle to all the scriptures? I think we can. I mean, Peter immediately, primarily, is certainly talking about Paul and his writings, yes. But if we're really honest, we can back up and say this is true of all the Bible. There are moments in the Bible that are just difficult to understand. How do we respond when we come to those moments? Do we ignore them? Do we throw in the towel and give up? No, we're not to do this. Even though they're hard to understand, we should work at understanding them better. Not to give us a full understanding, not at all. We will never get that. But to actually work to arrive at a better, truer, more thorough understanding of all that is there in that passage. The easy thing to do when we come to a hard passage, a tough text, is what Peter says a lot of people do with Paul. They read Paul in all his letters that he's written and come to the things that are hard to understand. And what do? They show that their own souls are bent to destruction. So what do? They twist the scripture because they're ignorant and unstable interpreters. They twist the scripture to their own destruction. This shows us what not to do with tough text. We should not interpret them in such a way that is ignorant or unstable. We should not read them by reading just what we want into them and then pulling that back out as if we have somehow finagled a meaning from a text that just so happens to be really convenient for us. They twist the text to their own purposes, to suit their own desires. This is not how we do it. Rather, we should read them for what they are. We should interpret them as they are, not trying to diminish the difficulty, but trying to see them in truth and then pull truth from them. This passage is important as we come into tough texts all fall together, because it shows us, perhaps some of you are like, man, this is really going to be an academic exercise. Like, this is going to be very logical, rational. It's going to be like seminary class in the evening. I mean, some of it might feel like that, but that'd be wrong to arrive at that conclusion. This shows us that hard texts, tough passages in the Bible, what's at stake? Destruction's at stake. Our own ignorance, our stability is at stake. If we mishandle the scriptures, we show that we are to varying degrees unstable and ignorant. And so this is not just a cold academic exercise. Destruction or life is at stake in how we handle the scriptures. So Lord willing, as I said, it'll be our aim each week as we handle these texts to demonstrate not only arriving at proper answers, but how to handle tough texts in a faithful manner that honors the Lord. I will not be the only one teaching these. Another elder, David Broughtonoff, is going to handle two of them during our time together. So he and I will be doing tag team on this series. So we've seen that tough texts exist, what not to do with them. We've seen what we didn't pick, what we did pick. We can still go further. R.C. Sproul, in his wonderful book, Hard Sayings, says that tough texts can be classified into three categories. I find these very, very helpful. And it kind of is good for us to have these categories before us so we know what we're really talking about when we come to a tough text. First, A passage can be a tough text if it appears to be harsh to us in meaning. So if a text jolts us, shocks us, or we have a reaction to the text where we shrink back from it, be like, no, 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 no. My Bible doesn't say that. And you're like, whoa, it does? No, 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 my Bible doesn't say that. It means that to us, that's a tough text. It might not be to someone else, but to us, it certainly is because it elicited a reaction from us. We'll deal with a few of this kind of text in our evenings together, one that shocks or offends sensibilities. Second, a passage can be a tough text if it is hard to understand, just plain and simple. 1 Peter 3:18 to 22 is a tough text because it's so difficult to understand. There's probably 4 or 5 massive topics that come just in that passage that say things that other parts of Scripture do not say. And yet in that one text, you got it all there wrapped up in a nice, neat little package that you get it, you open it, and you're just like, I don't know where to begin. I can't put this puzzle together. These pieces do not seem to fit. That's the second category of a tough text. The first one is a category where they're just difficult to swallow. This one, the second one, they're just difficult to unravel. We'll deal with a few of these in our evenings together. Third and lastly, a passage is a tough text if it is controversial in its interpretation. Well, how can it be controversial in its interpretation? We're kind of back to the first two categories in this third category. You're like, why is this even a category? Well, this third category brings to mind not so much things that are difficult to swallow, not so much things that are hard to unravel, the puzzle we just can't complete, right? But this third category brings us to passages that specifically down through the history of the church, there seems to be hundreds of interpretations. So as we go back to the early church fathers, they have a particular take. You go to the early medieval church, Anselm and Aquinas have a particular take. You go to the Reformation church, you got Luther and Calvin and Bucer and Zwingli doing certain things, different things with this same passage. You then go to the post-Reformation church, the Puritans, they do something wildly different with this. You then go to the present day context, and everybody seems to do something different than everyone else that came before now. And we're just left going, I feel like I'm on a carnival ride at a local fair that really wasn't put together well, and this thing might fall off its rails soon. That's what these texts can feel like, and that's 1 Peter 3 for you, one of them, and a few others we will handle in these evening nights together. One last encouragement, and then I'll take some questions if there are any. One way to grow in Christ that's not frequently talked about is what we're doing in these evenings together. One sure and certain way to grow in our faith, to mature in our love for the Lord and the knowledge of His Word, is to focus, to zero in on those parts of the Bible we find difficult. Why? When we come to a text that seems greatly puzzling or difficult or hard to us, we have a choice. The easy road or the hard road? The easy road is to ignore it and to move on. And just from here on out, I'm going to ignore that part of Scripture. I mean, I don't know if we ever say that like out loud to ourselves, but there's kind of this quiet, subtle little voice inside of us that's like, that's not okay. we'll just ignore this. For me, when I came to Christ in college and he saved me, this was Romans 9. The first week I got saved, the man that led me to Christ was all about John 3:16, and I could not get enough of John 3:16. Week number two, he said, now you're ready for Romans 9. I read Romans 9, and I said, that's not the God of John 3:16. What just happened? And he said, it's in the Bible, man. And I said, yeah, I hear you. I'm not seeing how these are the same person that you're talking about. And for me, I never made like the out loud decision or even inside my head like, well, I'm just going to avoid Romans 9. But for the next about year and a half, I never went to Romans 9 because it just seemed easier to go to other places in the scripture where I didn't have to fight so much to get encouragement in my daily devotions or study of the word. So this is not our endeavor here in Sunday evenings. This is not fast food, hot tub religion, right? I mean, J.I. Packer, you guys know him, wonderful author. You should read everything he's written. He has a book called Hot Tub Religion. Think about a hot tub. Why would someone go to a hot tub? You go to the hot tub to relax. Because you got maybe like a spot in the back that's just like, oh, that's not okay. Let me get, oh, that's better, right? And you sit down and it's just easy. It's comfortable. You're like, this is what I needed. So many Christians, their entire faith is hot tub religion. Their devotional readings, if they study at all, it's all things that are meant to encourage comfort, to bring them to some kind of heavenly peace and some kind of harmonious posture within their own souls where they don't have to face difficult things. So they always go to a few spots in Scripture. I know this because this was me for a time. I knew where to avoid. But eventually we have to realize if there are locations within these two covers that we are uncomfortable with, the problem is not with God, it's with us. So if we want to grow, we have to do things we've never done. We have to go beyond our comfort zone, get out of the hot tub, and learn in the hard places. So if we make the harder choice and face the text, really leaning into them, trying to understand them, the odds are we're going to grow in our understanding of God, our knowledge of His Word, and our love for Him. And we will have less obstacles when we're reading the Word. And we will, in a sense, though we enjoy the hot tub at times, right? Those are great moments. I mean, I've got my locations in the Scripture when I'm like downtrodden. I'm like, Psalm 63 is where I live. But I can't live there always. I've got to depart and go to Romans 9 and wrestle with the God of absolute sovereignty and come to enjoy Him for that. So when you come to a text that offends you, ask, why does this offend me? Why do I have such a reaction to this that I would want to avoid this or even close my Bible for a long time? If we do that, we'll never come to understand it. But if we choose to face it and lean into that text, what will we gain? New insight about God? New knowledge of His Word? Not only then more love to Him because we know Him better, we will also discover more about ourselves. What was it about me that was so off that this holy and inspired word seemed so offensive to me? So we will go to a deeper level of repentance and faith ourselves as more of the word shines out to us. So here's my plea in this series. We will not run away from the tough text. We will not shrink back when we're offended, confused, or angry at what we read. Instead, we will lean in, trusting that in these tough texts, God has much good that he wants us to embrace in them. By doing this together, we will not just get answers to questions, though I hope we get answers to questions. We'll get depth. We will not only come out wiser, we will come to a deeper awe of God, a greater humility before his word, and we will come to a deeper treasuring of the Lord. That is our endeavor before us.
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.